across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's nice to have you here up north. Another beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota. From wherever you're listening, across the Civic Media Radio Network or through the app or social media, video or podcast, it's great to have you here. Hey, I got a question for you today. What are you jacked up on this morning? Are you jacked up on Mountain Dew? Is it caffeine? Is it coffee? Is it caffeine pills? Is it something else? Is it something else that Joe Biden's going to use for his debate? Because apparently, to hear all the Republicans tell it, Joe Biden's going to be jacked up on something. Can't he just be high on life? I don't know. Greg Bach, you probably have taken some Mountain Dew in your lifetime. When you hear all the Republicans talking about how Joe Biden's going to be cranked up, what do you think it's going to be?
Well, I think he's going to do a couple of things. Maybe do some Joe Cole, maybe some Surge. I'm just kidding. I was going to start with like, hey, Pat. But then I couldn't. I had to take the baton. It's like improv. Yes and, baby.
Yes
and. And then I just stumbled over my words like a big old word stumbler. Blup.
As I'm looking at what to ask about it off the top, you know, the comments from the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, on down, and of course Trump himself.
They're making him sound like an 80s like Wall Street guy. Like he's like, he can be jacked up on some pills and some booger sugar, you know, if I'm talking about.
Think he might be taking some Adderall. I don't know anybody who does that.
It was Martin Short filling in for Jimmy Kimmel this week. He's going to be taking extra strength Metamucil this week. That's what he'll be on.
Hey, I need some of that.
Who doesn't want to be regular?
that would be so cool. So I love the way that the Speaker of the House put it in this mode of, you know, what people are asking. They do that all the time. People are asking about election irregularities. People are asking about, you know, Joe Biden's mental state. You know,
people
to which Tony and Hayward writes in on Facebook, he's not Don Jr., geez Louise.
He doesn't have that, like, cokehead sheen of sweat on his forehead. Jade and I talk about that all the time, the effervescent people say, they say. Well, you know what people are saying. The word is, no one's saying anything except for you guys.
But that is the foundation of all right-wing media, is to get your point out that you're making up. Is you just say, people are asking, people are talking about it. And then you talk about it, and then other people talk about it, and you go, see, people are talking about this. But anyway, so we'll see. The debate is tomorrow, and there will be coverage right here on Civic Media. In fact, Civic Media stations will cover the first presidential debate starting at 7:30 tomorrow evening. Civic Media News Director Terry Bell and Todd Alba of the conveniently named Todd Alba Show will be co-anchoring our coverage tomorrow night of that. So it's going to be a busy week this week for political news and a presidential campaign that still has a long way to go. But the first debate is already coming up here. If you'd like to weigh in on that or any of the things we talk about through the course of the day, you know the drill. You can call us. You can text us, 855-75-CIVIC. Again, 855-75-CIVIC. Or use that Civic Media app to reach out to us. Or like Tony, you can comment on Facebook or YouTube, and we'll see those comments and maybe put them up on screen as well. All right, coming up on the program, we've kind of buried the lead here. We're going to have Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren joining us this hour. Just after 6:30, I had a conversation with her yesterday as she was traveling across western Wisconsin on her way to events in Eau Claire and Hudson to support President Biden's reelection. And so we talked for a bit about women's reproductive health care rights and how Trump and some of his supporters have been trying to sound like moderates on abortion rights, even as at the same time they push for more restrictions. The senator will also discuss the, shall we say, distinct differences between Biden and former President Trump when it comes to supporting the family infrastructure of America's middle class. In our second hour, we're going to talk a bit about civic engagement again, not just civic media. Recall that last week in our homeroom segment, we talked about teaching civics to Wisconsin students and its value in a democracy. Well, we've since learned that Wisconsin held its first ever Civics B, and we have the student from Eau Claire who won the first Wisconsin Civics B. She and her mom will be joining us at 7:07, and then at 7:30, we will be joined by a couple of representatives from a Wisconsin group, the Campaign for a Family-Friendly Economy. And they are going to tell us about their recent research interviewing voters in some battleground states, including Wisconsin, about public attitudes toward government doing more to make child care more affordable for families. And how that's a winning message for candidates. That's a winning message for policyholders, policymakers. And so we'll hear more about that at 7:30. And then Todd Alba will join us coming up at 7:50. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot will be here less than an hour from now as well. And we will get into the notion of whether the recently unearthed, perfectly preserved cherries found at George Washington's Mount Vernon Estates, would you try them? It kind of like green eggs and ham. Would you try them if I offered them to you in this old fashioned? Would you then try 200-year-old cherries? And when they say perfectly preserved, I mean, do you know that they are? I don't know.
I mean, what?
Talk about a level of trust.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, yeah, I would.
Well, here's part of why I know they would be good. I've seen what they look like bad. I have sent away on Amazon for a particular brand of dark cherries when our local establishment stopped carrying them or sold out of them. And I saw them on Amazon. I'm like, eh, we'll see how this works out.
Yeah.
And they're really nice, dark, sweet cherries. And here's something you never have to think of very much, but you ever notice on any jar, it always says, you know, make sure the button on top isn't popped.
Yes.
And it seems like the most, you know, innocuous little thing, but I noticed when I opened up the box and there were six jars in there and they were packaged up nicely and everything, but I did notice your eye just kind of catches it because it's very subtle, but the top was kind of popped on that one button. And so sure enough, I turned the lid on the bottle. It's not as tight as all the others. Okay, well, maybe it's still fine because nothing's leaking, but clearly air got in. I lift up the lid on the jar. There was such a thick level of mold on the top. And you figure this had only been, I don't know how long it had been since they were packaged and whatnot. And you're just like, okay, that's just a little air getting in at one point. So if they're 200-year-old cherries, you're going to know if air got into that thing. Or if in fact you did a good job of canning. I'm glad I don't have to can. Canning is one of those lost arts and making something, you know, that's properly sealed. But I know what it would look like if they didn't do it right. So maybe I would try George Washington's perfectly preserved cherries in an old fashioned. But I'm still going to say maybe.
The alcohol will save you. It will coat your insides and protect you from any poisons that may be therein.
Here's hoping. So there you go. We'd love to know. Would you try 200-year-old perfectly preserved cherries from George Washington's estate recently discovered? And if so, could we entice you, if not an old-fashioned, maybe an ice cream sundae? I don't know. What would it take to get you to give that a try? Give us a holler and let us know. Temperatures around Wisconsin at 6:15 look like this. It's 62 here on Lake Wissota. Park Falls at 57. Wausau 61. Green Bay 69. La Crosse is at 66. Wisconsin Rapids 64. Oshkosh 69. Madison 72. Waukesha 66 degrees right now. The forecast for up here around Lake Wissota says it's going to be nothing but highs in the upper 70s. We won't see highs 80 or higher until next Tuesday. So that's really good news for the checkbook, because the air conditioner can finally be off. The windows are opened up, and we're looking forward to, hopefully, if we don't keep getting biblical amounts of rain at times, we should be in good shape for at least the next few days of not having to constantly have the air conditioning on. Milwaukee Brewers, they wrap up their homestand today against the Texas Rangers. Let me make sure I'm not speaking too soon. No, not the homestand. They wrap up their series with the Texas Rangers this afternoon. It is a 1:10 first pitch, which means the pregame will start at 12:35 this afternoon on Civic Media stations, including WRCE in Richland Center, WRJN in Racine Kenosha, WCQM in Park Falls, WISS in Oshkosh. That's all for this afternoon for a little afternoon baseball. Then the Brewers have tomorrow off, but then begins a three-game home series against the Chicago Cubs, and that will get started on Friday evening. But, Pat, I hear you saying, yeah, the game's this afternoon against Texas. What about last night? Well, Pat said, responding hurriedly as he scrolls through his notes, here's how it happened. The Brewers beat the Texas Rangers 3-1. Joey Ortiz hit a tie-breaking homer in the fifth inning to put the Brewers ahead for good, and Bryce Wilson threw six shutout innings in the Brewers' 3-1 victory over Texas last night. Brewers manager Pat Murphy is doing that thing where he has a reliever open the game and then your traditional starter comes in. So Bryce Wilson entered the game in the third after a two-inning start by reliever Hobie Milner. Milner became the 13th different pitcher to start a game for the Brewers this season. No other team has had more. But then Bryce Wilson comes in and does six innings from there, which matches his longest stint of the season. He struck out four. He allowed three hits, no walks. And the Brewers won despite leaving 10 men on base. And by the way, Brewers pitcher Robert Gasser, and maybe you're not familiar with him, he wasn't on the team for very long. Don't get used to him. He's undergone Tommy John surgery, and he's out for the next 12 to 14 months. So Brewers, again, will be playing this afternoon at 1:10 at American Family Field, day off, and then a series against the Chicago Cubs before they head back on the road next week. They will be heading to Denver to take on the Rockies next Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then three in L.A. against the Dodgers. So a long road trip next week for the Brewers. We are going to unpack some of the news for you on this Wednesday morning. Coming up in just a moment. First, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this lovely Wednesday morning, when you're here, you're up north. Live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network, I'm Pat Wrightlaw. This would be the Byrds with a song written by Bob Dylan, the only Bob Dylan song that he wrote that ever topped the Billboard Hot 100. The Byrds took Mr. Tambourine Man to the top of the Hot 100 chart this day in 1965. I was going to ask Mr. Bach about his new, what appears to be new, Milwaukee Brewers jersey that he's wearing, lovely with the very dark blue with the gold script Milwaukee upon it, in case he forgets where he's from. People can stick him in a mailbox, and he'll come right back to the Milwaukee Metroplex. You were at the game. You were at the games, plural.
Yeah, I went to Monday's game, and I went to Tuesday's game. I saw Rhys Hoskins' grand slam.
Holy cow.
Which was, I mean, he just stepped to that plate on Monday and just is like, all right, can we just be done? And crack, and there it goes, and bye-bye, and it was beautiful, and Yesterday's game was a little more, I mean, it was quicker yesterday, but both games were fantastic. Very hot yesterday. I mean, felt like you were baking in an oven.
And then by the later in the game, they were showing the shot through the big windows along the first baseline, yeah, the left field line with the sunset. Gorgeous.
Yes.
Gorgeous. But yeah, I know. I know how hot. I made the mistake one time of getting bleacher seats down the left field foul pole, down the third base side. And the sun hits that crowd behind that left field foul pole on those metal bleachers, and you are the proverbial ant under the magnifying glass when you're on there.
That was I went to a White Sox game last year, and we were just frying in the sun. And we had to, I was like, I can't do this.
No. But the but yeah, the view out there, the right field windows, if I said that wrong before. Nice with the sunset. I was reminded as I was putting things back together in my garage that I have a game day pennant from a Brewers Twins series, 2009 it was. And it was a time when I was in the legislature. They were in the final stages of working out the state budget bill. And it was one of those where, as one of the junior members, they're like, yeah, we don't need you. The grownups are going to go behind closed doors here and negotiate this stuff. So, but you have to be near the Capitol on short, you know, relatively near the, you can't go all the way back up north. So we're like, oh, let's go to a Brewers game. So a few of us went to a Brewers game, and it's where you first really got that sense of, during those evening games, those summer evening conditions mm-hmm. can be so perfect.
Yeah.
I just love being at that ballpark. In fact, Christina Laurie's working on a series, and it's about favorite restaurants. And I think she was working on something for Milwaukee. And she knew that I lived in Milwaukee, you know, once upon a time, way back when Sherry was going to the medical college. And she says, what are your favorite Milwaukee restaurants? I said, well, my first one is RIP, the Chancery in Wauwatosa.
The Chancery.
Yes, that was, you know, because it was close to the med school. And yeah. So we loved it there. But I then said, well, you know, working as I did for a short time for the billboard company there, what was then Patrick Media Group, as the person who was the driver to go pick up national clients at the airport, drive them all around Milwaukee to show them all their billboards, take them wherever they want to go to lunch because it's all on a company expense account, and then take them back to the airport. And it's based on that and that alone, because I had no money of my own back then. We were poor med student and her husband. Saz's for barbecue.
Wow.
And Mater's. Mater's was always a hit with out-of-town business visitors. They wanted the authentic, you know, German Wiener Schnitzel or whatever when they came to town.
They wanted to sleep on the flight home, basically. That's what they wanted to do.
Oh, trust me, some of them kind of did. They'd have a few at lunch. Yes, that was, you know, that was still the days of the three martini lunch, basically.
Oh my goodness.
Again, we're going back 30 years here, and yeah, but the meals they sure were good. Now there are so many other new restaurants that have come in, and there's a lot of great places to eat there. But to bring this thing full circle, my first answer to Christina when she said, what's your favorite Milwaukee restaurant? I said, any concession stand at American Family Field. If I'm in Milwaukee, I'm able to go to a Brewers game. Mm. Whatever I get there, I'm going to have a baseball game in front of me, perfect summer conditions. No restaurant's going to top that.
Yeah.
That's the place to be.
I love baseball so much.
I love baseball season
yeah.
so much. And yeah, even when the team's not great, you know, it's still there are very few environments like that around here. Uh-oh, I hear the buzzer's going off. Here it is from Tony putting it on YouTube. Sports, go sports!
Okay, oh, so I'm sorry, everyone, if we got really boring there as we were reminiscing and romanticizing America's pastime. Sorry about that, everybody.
We mentioned that Elizabeth Warren, our interview with her is coming up in just a moment. She's not the only one coming through Wisconsin to campaign for President Joe Biden. This from Rachel Hale in the Journal Sentinel. Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders is holding building working class power campaign rallies in town halls throughout Wisconsin this week, with stops in Mount Pleasant, Sheboygan, and Kaukauna on Thursday, Stevens Point on Friday, Chippewa Valley Technical College in Eau Claire, the Claremont campus, Friday evening, and the UW La Crosse Student Union on Saturday morning. The events next week were planned independently of the Biden-Harris campaign. They are part of a massive mobilization effort that includes appearances by Senator Warren, Maryland Governor Wes Moore, more events across the state, nearly 300 canvassing or door knocking launches during the weekend following the presidential debate. Both Elizabeth Warren and state Democrats were leaning into Monday's anniversary of the Dobbs abortion decision, with Elizabeth Warren, of course, holding events in Milwaukee, Madison, Eau Claire, and Hudson, as I mentioned earlier. So, again, now Bernie Sanders is coming in to campaign for Biden as well. Meanwhile, Congressman Brian Stile, who chairs the House of Representatives Administration Committee, says he has now issued subpoenas demanding that 15 Biden cabinet secretaries submit information about how their agencies are funding partisan registration efforts. Do we still have?
I got it.
Do you? Let's give a listen to Brian Stile commenting on subpoenaing cabinet officials about encouraging people to vote.
They need to provide this immediately. They should have already provided it when we made the request. They're refusing to do it. We're going to call them before Congress if they don't provide their strategic plans as required under the executive order. I'm of the view that they should provide it today. If they fail to do that, we're going to take further steps to force them to provide it. Again, this is the use of taxpayer dollars to drive out the vote in a partisan manner. Every American should be concerned. And as you correctly said, a lot of folks have concerns with the administration of our elections. We need to be working to instill integrity in our elections and improve people's confidence in our elections. Unfortunately, the Biden administration is doing the exact opposite, not only with the executive order, but the fact that they then now are covering up what the strategic plans are.
The strategic plans for getting people to vote.
Strategery.
I just want a couple of questions, Congressman Stile, if I may. Where are you on all of your fellow Republicans who are still defying congressional subpoenas from the January 6th investigation? Any word on that? And also, Congressman Stile, you are still holding on to the video of Congressman Derek Van Orden lashing out in the middle of the night at Senate pages in the Capitol Rotunda. When are we going to see that? Worry about that first. Senator Warren next. You're up north. Senator Elizabeth Warren, how are you?
I'm doing great. And thanks for having me on your show. I appreciate it.
Well, it's nice to have you in Wisconsin. You're making many stops. I know that a lot of your themes here are on reproductive health rights. You're then headed to Minnesota, where I know democracy is going to be a central theme. The fact of the matter is this presidential election lends itself to many important themes because of the difference between President Trump and the former president, right?
You hit that exactly right. I see this as an election that is entirely about contrast. And as you say, we can start with contrast on abortion. Donald Trump is out there bragging about how he's the one who actually got it done and got Roe versus Wade pitched out the window. And Republicans are saying, and that's not enough. They actually want to go further. They want a universal ban on abortion all across this country. They're coming after some forms of contraception, and they're also even coming after IVF. And remember, this isn't just talk. Right now in the House of Representatives, the majority of Republicans and the Speaker of the House of Representatives are co-sponsors on a bill that they call fetal personhood. And that would not only ban all forms of abortion, it would also cut out some forms of contraception and make IVF impossible. So understand this. On November 5th, what the Republicans want to do is come for abortion rights, not just in red states. They're coming for it everywhere, Wisconsin, Massachusetts, all across this country. By contrast, Joe Biden is out there using every tool he's got right now. Department of Defense has made sure that our active duty military have access to abortion services when they need them. Our Veterans Affairs Department under Joe Biden has made sure that veterans have access. The FDA has made sure that medication abortion is still available. And the Department of Justice is fighting one lawsuit after another against the extremists What we really need, though, is Joe Biden back in the White House, a Democratic majority in the House and the Senate. And then we can settle this where it needs to be settled, and that is by voting nationwide to make Roe versus Wade law of the land.
Can we talk for a moment about the attempts to sound like a moderate on this issue and on many others? You've certainly had former President Trump saying, well, he wants it to be state by state, but if some state bans go too far, he thinks he'll be able to do something about it. Similarly, he's been thinking out loud about what is the right number of weeks for a national abortion ban. You have Eric Hovde thinking out loud about the right number of weeks for an abortion ban in Wisconsin, all in this effort to sound moderate. And what do you want Wisconsin voters to know about that?
You know, it's all a lie. And remember this, I mean, how many times do they have to fool us on this? One after another of those nominees to the United States Supreme Court that the Republicans put forward stood there, raised their right hands, and swore until the world looked level that no, they weren't going to mess with precedent. In effect, Roe is fine. Stop being alarmist. We're all going to hang in there. And then what happened? Literally, the very first case to make it in front of the Supreme Court after Donald Trump had gotten his majority in place, the very first case, did they take a nibble out of Roe? No. Did they take a bite out of Roe? No. They set Roe versus Wade on fire. They completely got rid of it. Just ended Roe versus Wade. First time in American history to take away a constitutional right. Then they turn around and the same Republicans say in the Senate, for example, oh, well, I'm a big supporter of IVF, or they will say, oh, that they are big supporters of contraception, or they like the states to be able to make choices. So the Democrats and the Senate called them out, and they said, okay, let's just do a bill here. Here's a bill that says whatever else happens in law, we just want to make sure that Americans have full access to contraception. Put up another bill. Said, we just want to make sure Americans have full access to IVF. That'll reassure clinics. They can open anywhere in the country. And what happened? All but two Republicans, all but two, voted against it, voted to block. So, you know, the idea that Donald Trump thinks he can talk to two different groups and that we won't hear what he's saying to the other group. He wants to say to American women, oh, don't worry, I'm on your side. I'll think about this, I'll mull on this, while he literally stands up in front of his extremist supporters and says, brags about the fact that while every other Republican president tried to get rid of Roe versus Wade, Donald Trump is the one who delivered. He is their guy. But you know what? We're not falling for that again. We hear what he's saying, and we believe him, and that's why we understand. Come November 5th, abortion is literally on the ballot, and that's why I'm out here. Joe Biden fights for access to abortion, and that's why I'm fighting for Joe Biden.
You know, similarly, you have the former president and you have folks like Congressman Derek Van Orden here in Western Wisconsin talking a good game about things like nutrition programs. You know, the farm bill, of course, is still very much up in the air. And I wonder your own feeling on as they continue to weigh these nutrition programs and other elements in the farm bill where they say they're not cutting something, but they're certainly not looking to keep up with the scope of a problem in the country.
That's exactly right. And you've put your finger on it. They don't keep up with the scope of the problem. And in fact, just watch what the Republicans have done. The Republicans 2 years ago insisted that the only way they would raise the debt ceiling was if Democrats agreed to cut overall spending, defense and non-defense spending, by 1%, even though the population continues to grow, even though some costs grow. They said Democrats finally signed off because we wanted to keep the government open. I didn't like the deal. In fact, I didn't vote for the deal. But I understand the reason for it. So everybody agrees to the deal. And then what happens? The Republicans proposed just a few weeks ago, oh, they want to increase the defense side of the budget by $55 billion. And then how do they want to make that work out? They want to take that money out of what they call non-defense spending, which is partly things like stamp benefits. I mean, it puts the squeeze on the investment that Americans make in building a future, not just for some of us, but for all of us. I think that we're at this moment now really has been remarkable. The first, think about economic policy here. Donald Trump had exactly one economic legislative achievement, and that was a tax cut that delivered $2 trillion in tax cuts, mostly soaked up by millionaires, billionaires, and giant corporations. Then take a look at what happens in the first 2 years of the Biden administration. We see money put back into the economy, a bipartisan, and I want to give credit. Two of the bills were bipartisan, two were Democrats only, but an infrastructure plan that actually means we're repairing roads and bridges across this country. We're providing for replacing old worn out septic systems, water pipes. We're investing in broadband so everybody's got access. It's making investments in America. We invested in child care. We invested in the things that help us move forward as a nation. Once Republicans took over the House, they put an end to that. But we are still seeing the benefits of making those investments play out. In fact, I'll tell you about one of them, and that is the Inflation Reduction Act. We passed the biggest climate package in the history of the world. And how did we pay for it? We paid for it with my 15% minimum corporate tax on these billionaire corporations that had been paying zero or near zero in taxes. Think about that. It's asking those at the top to pay a little more so that we can make the investments across the board that will make our whole country better off and give more kids an opportunity to build a real future.
And so let's end on that note, Senator, on the Inflation Reduction Act. Some compromises had to be made, especially to get Senator Manchin's vote, yep, including in the areas of child care and paid leave. So let's end on a note of family infrastructure. And if Joe Biden were to be elected and were to have a Democratic House and Senate once again, what would investments in the family infrastructure conceivably look like versus if Donald Trump were to get reelected or Republicans were to hold one or both houses of Congress?
Oh, I love this. This is the perfect final question. So let's do Donald Trump and the Republicans first. Donald Trump's already told us exactly what he's going to do. He has gone out and met with his rich as hell donors and told them, contribute big dollars to his campaign and he's going to give them a giant tax cut. He's gone out and told the oil companies, contribute to his campaign and he's not only going to give them tax cuts, he's going to reduce regulations so they can pollute this country even more and make the climate crisis even worse. That's the family plan for Donald Trump and the Republicans. By contrast, what does Joe Biden say he wants to do? He says he is going to do child care. We need universal child care in this country. Why? So mamas and daddies can go to work, so our babies get their best start in life, and so that our child care workers are paid a living wage commensurate with the responsibility of the work they do. You know what else we're going to do? We're going to invest in housing so that people across this country, we need to build up the housing supply. And that's true in urban areas. It's true in rural areas. It's true for first-time homebuyers and people who want to live in apartments and seniors who need different arrangements for their living and people with disabilities. We need more on the housing front. We're going to reduce the cost of healthcare even more. Joe Biden has started with negotiations with the drug companies, and we're going to keep it up. And We're going to make sure that Social Security is stable and available for all of our seniors, something that you can count on and your kids can count on and your grandkids can count on. You know, we know what we want to do. And here's the best part. We also know how we're going to pay for it. We're going to pay for it by raising taxes on the billionaires, by raising taxes on the billionaire corporations, and making this a stronger America for everyone. I love this. You know, I'm out here fighting because I don't want to see Donald Trump in the White House. I don't want to see Republicans in control of the Senate and the House. But I'm also fighting the America that I know we can build together. And I'm just excited by that possibility.
Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren joining us from the highways and byways across western Wisconsin. Senator, safe travels. Nice to have you here in the Midwest and for spending some time with us today.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's great to be here. I love being in this fight.
I have to say, she said fighter, and I love being in this fight so many times as we were wrapping up the interview. I did, Greg, half expect instead to hear, "Oh, Pat, I'm just joshing with you. It's Kate McKinnon from Saturday Night Live. I'm a fighter. I'm in the fight."
Nice.
There's a reason these comedic taglines come into play. That, you know, comedians can be so perceptive. They pick up on any little thing, which, by the way, in looking for her saying that, I did catch a Saturday Night Live skit with Kate McKinnon playing Elizabeth Warren. And she comes into the skit in this rally and says, "I'm all jacked up. I had a Nature Valley granola bar out in the hallway, so I'm ready to go." I think we might have found Joe Biden's secret drug that Trump and company is going to get them all jacked up.
Well, you take one bite of those Nature Valley, and then the rest of it just falls on the floor. So you never finish one.
They pack a lot of sugar into that first one. That's right. Yeah. We will be covering the debate here across Civic Media radio stations starting at 7:30 tomorrow evening. Today's history lesson is coming up next. You're up north. Vikings and beekeepers, Vikings and beekeepers. Okay, not everybody remembers the old SCTV skit, but anyway, it was on this day in 1870 is when Wagner's opera Die Walküre was performed for the first time at the National Theater in Munich and giving us comedy gold from that point forward. And I'm sure a beautiful piece of operatic music as well.
I went to a concert at the Pabst Theater once and they have a bust of Wagner up on, like, I think, the right side, and my friend who, he's so funny. He just goes, "Oh man, so beautiful." And he looks at the bus, goes, "Who's Wagner?" I'm like, "Oh, come on, man. You work at a music store."
You know, we can't all have the cultural depth of Melissa Kay from locally grown radio, WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids, is with us now.
Melissa, don't know what Wagner looks like.
I was going to say, I wouldn't be able to, if it was, what's the old joke? If it was him and Abraham Lincoln next to each other in a police lineup, I still couldn't pick him out. But if you say so. How are things in the Rapids?
They're great. You know, we've got so many festivals and fairs and things going on. I got to march in the Cranberry Blossom Fest on Sunday. That was fun. We premiered Agatha. You guys should have heard the kids going crazy over that.
Oh, chicken. Of course. Agatha is going to be such a hit in the parades.
Yes, for WIRI. She is awesome.
Oh, my goodness. What is Agatha, a particular breed of fowl?
Yellow and red.
A yellow and red bird.
She's okay. Not a Scott Dumpy because she has legs.
My God, what are we talking?
Rapids has its own version of the San Diego chicken going on now. On the birthdays today, happy birthday to Billy Davis Jr., frontman for the Fifth Dimension. Billy Davis Jr. is 86. He had this duet with his Fifth Dimension spouse, Marilyn McCoo. I really like these two, and they had a nice little variety show going on in the mid-70s. And I didn't check recently, but at least as recently as a year ago, in their mid-80s, they were still touring and putting on shows.
Really? But, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Loved them with the Fifth Dimension, so we might hear a little bit more of that later on. We'll also hear later from Chris Isaak, who is 68 years old today. That doesn't seem right, but yeah, singer Chris Isaak is 68. Elvis performed for the last time, and I think Roger made note of that on Facebook as well. Yes, at Market Square Arena in Indianapolis, Elvis performed for a live audience for the last time 47 years ago today. Wow. Happy birthday to Patti Smyth, lead singer of Scandal. She is 67 today.
Loved
her voice.
Her and Pat Benatar.
Yes. Oh, can you imagine Patty and Pat on tour together?
Oh, the Pats.
Ooh. Somebody get a time machine. We've got a $1 million idea here. That's awesome. We mentioned earlier the Byrds' Mr. Tambourine Man, number one song this day in 1965. Another lady with a powerful lead singing voice from the group Berlin, Terry Nunn, is 63 today.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, see, no.
Slow skate, everybody. Slow skate.
I was just going to say, it's time for a slow dance. Ladies, it's your choice. Now, how's this for a list of birthdays, Melissa? Sean Hayes from Will and Grace, 54 today. Chris O'Donnell, the actor, is 54 today.
Wow.
Nick Offerman is 54 today.
Wow.
That really? Was a very busy and blessed labor and delivery room. If they were, can you imagine those three all being, you know, born in the same area? But you know, they were all born this day in 1970. That was a lot of talent.
I hope they're having dinner together today.
That would be
on par with I was gonna say with Smartless, but that's Sean Hayes' podcast.
Yeah.
Is Smartless. Brilliant podcast, just brilliant. Another birthday today, country singer Gretchen Wilson is 51, and you know what she's here for?
I didn't know where you were going with that, so I thought it was leading right into that. What's she here for, Pat?
Listen, I'll tell you. You know I'm here for the party. Man, that was as smooth as it was in dress rehearsal. Disclaimer. Up North News Radio does not have a dress rehearsal. Derek Jeter is 50 years old today. Ariana Grande is 31 today.
Wow.
Yeah. This is National Barcode Day because the UPC code, the Universal Product Code, was scanned for the first time to sell a pack of Wrigley's chewing gum at a supermarket in Troy, Ohio.
Was it Double Mint?
I'm hoping so, because yeah, unlike Juicy Fruit's the good one. What's the one that? Oh, that's Beech Nut. That's the one that loses its flavor after less than 7 seconds.
Ooh!
But the Wrigley's ones, they're good. So it's National Barcode Day. This is National Beautician Day. Do you have a regular beautician, Melissa?
I just got one. Yeah, and I see her tomorrow.
Oh, absolutely. Well,
yeah, Taylor. She's amazing.
Bring Taylor.
She gave me the Curly Girl Special.
The Curly Girl Special. I like it.
And it's getting shorter tomorrow.
And let's see. Today is also National Canoe Day. Today is National Chocolate Pudding Day.
Mm.
And this is World Refrigeration Day. And look, if nothing else, whatever's going on in your life, if you need to be thankful for just one thing, it being World Refrigeration Day, know that for a big old chunk of human history, they didn't have that. And we do. That's one of those things we so take for granted, that your great-great-grandparents would look at you like you were a wizard if you could have these things.
We didn't have this kind of witchcraft back in my day, and we were just fine. Yeah, I used to have 10 siblings, but that doesn't matter. We didn't need your refrigerators with the TVs on the front.
We had an ice house. Pack it in straw. It'll last all summer.
Yeah.
That's right.
I got an ice box. That's all I need.
Tony commenting on YouTube, sounds so fancy over there. Hey, we are fancy, and we're fancy over in Wisconsin Rapids, where Melissa's working on all kinds of mischief. What's happening in radio world out there?
I'm going to start gathering community stories today, and I'm so excited. I get to go to the Heroes Cafe breakfast this morning and hopefully have some conversations with veterans and be able to hear their stories and start to share them with our listeners.
And why? Why are you gathering these stories and talking
about
sharing?
Because I have a show.
You have your own show.
Yes. It's called Community Stories with Melissa Kay. It will debut sometime in July, probably later July, because I need more time to work it out. And Greg, you know what? I need intro music. So maybe you could help me with that.
Oh, I can help you with that. Okay. I don't know why I said it like that.
Wait.
I don't either. That was a little creepy.
Sorry. But, I'm sorry.
I just love the initiative of right there, live on air, putting him on the spot. I need some help, Greg. Would you help me? Is he going to, at this point, he's going to go, no, I'm really busy. Like, if you emailed him later, he'd be like, no, I'm busy. But
no.
You got him. You got him. Melissa, thank you so much.
Oh, it's always great to talk to you guys.
Have fun collecting the stories.
I will.
We have a very busy second hour ahead on Up North News Radio, where we're going to talk to the winner of the first ever Civics Bee and learn about the campaign for a family-friendly economy. Plus Todd Alba next. You're Up North. Tell me, tell me.